Thank you and welcome again to another session on the Theological Seminar of the Air. This is our third broadcast on the perhaps the greatest subject in the Bible itself. We've been studying theology, Christology, and pneumatology for weeks and months now. Now we come to the source book from which these doctrines were taken, the Bible itself. As you know, the longest chapter in the Bible is about the Bible, Psalm 119. So when we study the Bible and the Theological Seminar there, we are studying the most important thing we probably ever will study, as all of the doctrines are contingent upon its accuracy. Now, in last week's broadcast, the week before, we pointed out and emphasized how the modern apostate fundamentalist is going into apostasy led by the faculty members of Christian universities and colleges. This is done by the refusal to intelligently quote or read 2 Timothy 3:16, which is not a reference to the original manuscripts. Every apostate fundamentalist in America today, including the most godly and the dedicated and recognized and qualified, you know the party line, all insist that 2 Timothy 3:16 is a reference to the original manuscripts. In the context, of course, it is not. There are no books on verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures that dare quote 2 Timothy 3:15, which is the context of verse 16. And so because of this, the Christian colleges and universities are leading America into apostasy because they profess to believe something they do not believe. When you hear the modern apostate fundamentalist say the Bible is the Word of God, it does not contain the Word of God, it is the Word of God, he is lying like a Persian rug, and he knows he's lying when he says it. There is no major Christian university or college in America that believes the Bible is the Word of God. What they believe is the original manuscripts were the Word of God. Their proof of this is a verse taken out of context. 2 Timothy 3:16. So the Christian should be very careful never to follow the leadership of these apostate fundamentalists, whose institutions were built on the King James Bible, and still use, that's the term, and prefer, that's the term, the King James Bible, not because they believe it, but because they lose their income and their enrollment if they didn't profess to believe it. So we have in America today, in the Laodicean age, the final act of apostasy in the body of Christ led by the Christian educators. And these educators are living a lie in order to get their attendance and their enrollment and their income. And they're making the student think that they believe the King James Bible is the Word of God by all kinds of little fancy doodads. For example, they'll have a great big what they call fundamental congress someplace, and everybody will come in, put on a big show, and sign a big paper about the full verbal plenary claptrap, so forth and so on, and make you think they believe the Bible is the Word of God. They're not talking about the Bible. When they talk about inspiration from 2 Timothy 3:16, they're never making any reference to the Scriptures or the Bible. They're making a reference only to manuscripts that nobody's ever found. The term Scripture in the Bible is never used in that sense. I don't know of a single case in the New Testament where the term Scripture is ever a reference to original manuscripts. If it is, I'd like to have you show it to me. Nobody in the New Testament has any original manuscripts. So we see the final act of the professional liar is going to be carried out by the fundamentalist in the body of Christ. And this final act is standing up at the pulpit and professing something they do not believe. At one large university in America, they have a little sign under the pulpit warning the speaker to use only the King James Bible in the pulpit. Do you know why this is done? To prevent them from losing their enrollment. Their student body is made up of 80% of Christian young people who came from churches that were founded by the teaching and preaching of the King James Bible. So they put the little note under the podium there to warn the fellow, not because the King James Bible is the Word of God or that they believe it, but simply to keep the boat from rocking. Now, that's what's going on in America today. Now, if you don't believe it, I suggest you check it out before you contradict me, since I know what I'm talking about, you don't. I would also suggest that you take the last 10 publications by the last 50 leading fundamentalists in America and find how many of them use the King James Bible, not because they believe the Bible is the Word of God, but because they prefer it, because if they didn't prefer it, people wouldn't listen to them. I have here my desk letters from every major fundamental leader in America in regards to this, or from his faculty members. There is not one major Christian seminary, college, or university in America that believes the Bible is the Word of God. Nor do they believe that there is such a thing as the Bible. If you ever find such a man, would you please introduce me to him, and I'll pay his way down here and back to meet him. These men are professional liars, and that can be proved in court in less than 15 seconds. When they say the Bible, they are referring to a book that none of them has ever got his hands on or has ever seen. And when they say the Bible is the Word of God, they use the wrong tense. They believe the Bible was the Word of God if anybody could ever find it. Now, if you think I'm lying or being cruel or harsh or crude or impolite, I would suggest you investigate the facts before you talk about something you know nothing about. All right, next to the gift of Christ and the Holy Spirit, the Bible is the greatest gift ever given to man. Next to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the kiss of God and the lost soul of man is the Holy Bible. So Walter Scott himself, the author of many books and the possessor of great libraries, said, "There is only one book, and that's the Bible." John Wanamaker said, "That's the book. You ought to read it." Robert E. Lee, the general of the Confederacy, said, "That's the book. There's no book like it." The testimony of Ulysses S. Grant, the testimony of John Quincy Adams, the testimony of Benjamin Franklin, the testimony of Thomas Jefferson, is that the Bible is a unique book like no book in this world. The Bible is the oldest book in existence. It required 16 centuries to write it, and the first writer died 1,450 years before the last writer was born. Not one book in 1,000 lasts more than 5 years. Not more than one book in 10,000 lasts more than 20 years. And there isn't one book in 100,000 books that are published that lasts more than 100 years. I'll say it again. There isn't one book in 100,000 publications that lasts more than 100 years. 3/4 of the Bible was written, 3/4 of the Bible was written before the Greeks had a civilization. And it's still here. After 25 centuries. The whole Bible was written before Muhammad or Buddha had finished their teachings. As a matter of fact, the whole Bible was written before Muhammad was born. There are 7 crowning wonders of the Bible. Number 1, the wonder of its formation. One book written in one place in one language, another book written in another country centuries later in another language, with all of them coming together to teach future events that have not yet taken place. The wonder of its unification. It is a library of 66 books, yet only one book, for it has but one author, the Holy Spirit. There are no contradictions in a King James 1611 authorized version. You say, prove it. You prove it. In America, the law courts of jurisprudence teach that a culprit is innocent till found guilty. The blanket condemnation of the King James Bible by supercilious dunces who think that 30 years of education equips them to be intelligent is past finding out. Nobody has ever proved conclusively one contradiction in the King James Bible, nor will they ever, unless they find with a lithographer, or the man who set up the type wrong in a print, in which case it was taken off the market and the corrections were made. I grant you, if you can find mistakes in any Bible that have been done by the lithographer or the printer. But when I speak about contradiction, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You never found one in a King James Bible yet. Neither did your teacher. You say, what about we teach those to third-year students, high school students? He said, what about the case where we cover all that in the first year for the freshmen? He said, what about this case where, well, if you had any sense, you wouldn't have believed in the first place? You say, well, my teacher told me he ain't got a lick of sense. Ain't got no more than you got. Any man that tells you there are contradictions in the King James Bible is not an intelligent man. He may be a Hebrew or Greek scholar, may have taught Hebrew and Greek for 35 years, and had 30 years of formal education. He ain't got a lick of sense. If he did, he wouldn't talk like a blind man. At the Pensacola Bible Institute, when a young man comes here, we teach him all the 400 apparent contradictions that are taught to students at the other Christian colleges and universities, And we have never yet had one of those apparent contradictions out of 400 that couldn't be answered by a man with a high school education. Therefore, the men with a seminary education are simply lying or they're simply stupid. Now, you take your pick. I'm not going to call all of them liars. However, I will certainly call a man a liar who stands in the pulpit and says the Bible is the Word of God and weighs it in his hand when he hasn't got a Bible, doesn't believe in the Bible, and the one he has in his hand he doesn't think is the Bible. Now, that's a liar. Why, Tom Paine and Voltaire, those fellows were paid thousands of dollars in money and thousands of coinage in France for getting up and denying the Word of God. Why, these dumb fundamentalists, they're only getting about $200 a week to deny the Word of God. They're a fool and a rascal in one compound. We have the wonder of its age. The Bible is by far the most ancient of all books. The Book of the Dead is not a real book, as anybody knows. The Book of the Dead is a compilation of scraps taken out of coffins in Egypt and assembled by somebody in a various helter-skelter order to try to teach some kind of religion. You don't find that in the Word of God. Listen, brother, there are whole chapters in the Word of God that don't deal with religion at all. They deal with pure history. There are places in the Word of God that run for whole pages that deal with philosophy and scientific fact. I can show you 20 scientific facts written before Christopher Columbus that nobody knew about till after Christopher Columbus. You won't find them in the Book of the Dead. I have a list here of all the ancient literature written in B.C. before the time of Christ. There's nothing in the Hindu literature that could come anywhere near it, and the Hindu literature does not constitute a true book. The Hindu literature and the Brahma literature never hazards a guess on anything in history that'll take place. And the reason is very simple. Whoever wrote them didn't know what was going to take place. The final test of that book is prophecy. The Bible said the testimony of Jesus Christ was spirit of prophecy, and alongside that monarch of the books, the feeble rantings and ravings of Gene Dixon and Edgar Casey and Khalil Gibran and Nostradamus and Mother Shipton look like little old rotten eggs tucked into a basket buried down in a sand dune. Listen, that book hazards 48 prophecies about an individual before he's born. There's nothing in the Brahma Hindu literature that could come anywhere near it or even attempt it. There's nothing in the Shastras, the Puranas, the Bhagavad Gita, the Song of God, or the Tripitaka, the Triple Basket, that would even attempt it. And if you had on your table the entire writings of every Hinduist and Brahmist and Buddhist who ever lived, you couldn't find prophecies made about the history of America and Europe. You couldn't find as many of them in 30,000 pages of their literature as I can show you in 5 pages of a King James 1611 authorized version. How do you explain that? You people that turn up your nose to the Bible, aren't you rather ridiculous? I'm talking to you doctors and lawyers and bankers and theological professors. Aren't you rather stupid to turn up your nose at a book that can pull something off that you wouldn't even try and that you've never seen before in your life and you don't have access to? Aren't you a little naive? The wonder of its sale. The Bible is the bestseller of all time. It has always had more sales than any other 2 books combined. The King James Bible has outsold more copies than any other 4 translations combined. If you combine the number of sales of the New ASV, the Old ASV, the International Version, and the so-called Living Bible, they couldn't come up to half the sales of the King James Bible, which has put out 809 million copies, not counting the translations into 800 foreign languages. It is the monarch of the books and the king of the mountain, and alongside the King James 1611 Bible, the so-called Living Bible, which is not a Bible but a paraphrase, is kiddies' toys for the campfire girls. That old King James Bible has come out to the tune of 809 million copies, sometime printed at the rate of 20,000 a day. All the Bibles have to adopt its cover, its verse system, its chapter system, its concordance system, its reference system, and its print system in order to stay on the bookshelf. There hasn't been one translation put out since 1800 that eventually didn't have to get a black cover to sell, and then had to get a concordance and send a reference to sell, and now they're having to go into giant print because the King James Bibles have gone to giant print. Now the new versions have to follow suit. The standard for American Bibles is the King James. The American standard, the English standard, the French standard, the German standard, the Chinese standard, and the solar system standard is one book. And the reason why all new versions have to keep alibiing about bringing up words in the King James is the King James is the standard. When the RSV came out, it did not compare itself with the ASV. When the ASV came out, it did not compare itself with the RV. When the new RSV came out, it did not compare itself with the new ASV. When the new ASV came out, it did not compare itself with the old ASV. When the Living Bible came out, it did not compare itself with the New English Bible. When the New English Bible came out, it did not compare itself with the RV. Every translation put on the market by every money-making huckster on this earth had to compare itself with the King James 1611 Authorized Bible to sell, thereby admitting against their will that there is one standard Bible that is worldwide. And it is not the so-called New American Standard, which is a standard for absolutely nothing. The reason why all Bibles compare themselves with the King James is because the King James is the absolute standard. And the next 10 versions that come out will have to compare themselves with the King James. We have the wonder of its interest. It is the only book that is read by all classes and ages of mankind. It is read by PhDs and children. It is read by all nations. Over in Japan, you have two Bibles, the Devil's Bible and the Lord's Bible. If you don't believe it, write Timothy Peach at the Radio Bible Class in Tokyo. In India, you have two Bibles, the Lord's Bible and the Devil's Bible. If you don't believe it, write to Jacob Chile over there, who puts up schools all over the country. In South America and Mexico, you have two Bibles, the Lord's Bible and the Devil's Bible. If you don't believe it, contact Brother Howell in Honduras. In America, you have two Bibles, the Lord's Bible and the Devil's Bible. The Lord's Bible is the King James Bible. The Devil's Bible is the Alexandrian Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, which is the background for the ASV, New ASV, International, Weymouth, Moffat, Goodspeed, Green Dragon, Maggie and Jiggs, Mickey Mouse, Peanuts, Pogo, New English Bible, International Version, and Snow White, the Seven Dwarfs. We have the wonder of its language. It was written largely by uneducated men, yet it is considered a literary masterpiece. But above all, we have the wonder of its preservation. It has been the most hated of all books. Fundamentalists make fun of it. New Orthodox people hate it. New Evangelicals ignore it. Nationwide evangelists recommend you get other Bibles instead of it. Time and time again, kings and governments have sought to burn the King James Bible and abolish it. Yet God has preserved it for us today. It can be found on almost every home. And there's nobody listening to my voice that can't get him a King James Bible in less than 2 hours after you hear this broadcast. In spite of Christian scholarship, in spite of Christian universities and colleges, we still have the infallible Word of God in our own language, the King James 1611 Authorized Version. In spite of the work of the fundamental apostates, and in spite of the damaging, destructive, deadly work of A.T. Robertson, Macon, Warfield, Thiem, Wiest, and the rest of the hypercritics, we can still obtain a copy of God's Word. There are seven symbols in the Bible used to illustrate the Word of God. These are a sword, a hammer, a seed, a mirror, a fire, a lamp, food, and the food comes in four installments, giving you every type of protein and calorie you need. I'll go through these verses with you. First of all, the Bible is called a sword. The Bible is a pointed word that convicts the hearer. So we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." The Bible's a sword. The Bible is a hammer. It is powerful and breaks the resistance of the hearer. In Jeremiah 23:29, the Lord said, "Is not my word, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" The word of God is like seed. The Bible is a living word, regenerating the hearer. In 1 Peter 1:23, we read, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever." The word of God is a mirror. It is a faithful reflection, revealing the individual to himself. In James 1, verse 23-25, we have the Bible likened to a mirror, in which the sinner or saint looks and sees a true picture of himself as portrayed by his Creator. The Word of God is a fire. It's a burning Word that consumes the dross in the hearer. In Jeremiah 23:29, the Lord said, "Is not my Word like as a fire?" Jeremiah 20:9, Jeremiah said, "His Word was in mine heart as a burning fire." That is, in all, the Bible is like a lamp. The Bible is an illuminating Word, guiding the believer day by day. In Psalm 119:105, we read, "Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." But that isn't all. The Bible is like apples. The words of the wise, like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It's like milk. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. It's like meat. 1 Corinthians 3:2. It's like bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And David said that it was sweeter to his taste than honey. Now, do you realize what I've said? That Bible said it's like honey. There's your dextrose. Bread. There's your starch. Apples. There's your vitamins. Meat. There's your protein. And milk. There the rest of the vitamins. Do you know what I've just given you? I've given you a complete diet that any man in the world could live off of for 80 years. Apples, milk, meat, honey, and bread. Now, isn't that something? And do you realize what I've just read you here in these references gives complete survival equipment? If you were put out in a jungle or a desert or a forest with the equipment I just listed, you could live as long as any man lives in anywhere in the world. You would have apples, honey, bread, meat, milk, a sword, a hammer, seed to plant, a mirror to signal with, fire to boil water with and cook food, a lamp to see with at night. Now tell me, what else would you need beside nails? And the words of the wise are like nails in Ecclesiastes 12. Now, do you realize the import of what I've just said? If you believe what you read in the Word of God, when you have the Word of God, you have complete equipment for survival for a lifetime in one book. There is nothing in the religious literature or the so-called scriptures of any religion in the world that gives the items I've listed. There is nothing in the entire religion of Muhammad, or Confucius, or Zoroaster, or Gautama the Buddha, that can even approximate what I just gave you in the last 2 minutes. The book that God has placed in your hand is a sword, a hammer, nails, seed, a mirror, a fire, lamp, apples, honey, bread, meat, and milk. Now, what more are you looking for? The Word of God convicts, it breaks, it regenerates, it reveals, it cleans, it sanctifies, it consumes, it illuminates, it regenerates, and it nourishes the individual. The Bible is the book of books, and when we say the Bible in this broadcast, we are always referring to the Bible. When you're reading other men's literature, you're not necessarily reading this. For example, the standard thing taught by every Christian university in America is, quote, and I'm quoting here from four letters from the four biggest Christian universities in America. One of them is in South Carolina, one of them is in Virginia, one of them is in Tennessee, and one of them is in Indiana. These four universities teach this, quote, translations are not inspired, ruling out the King James. They are copyist errors, without telling you what they are. None of the originals are in existence today, true. Ancient copies being discovered are almost identical. Identical to what, the originals? How do you know they're identical if you don't have the originals? Isn't that something? Now, there is no Christian university or college in America today that is a major one. By a major one, I mean an enrollment of over 400. That teaches the Bible is the Word of God in the classroom. They put that on their brochures and advertise it. We have a college here in Pensacola that advertises about being old-fashioned fundamentalists who believe the Bible is the Word of God. There isn't one faculty member of that school that believes the Bible is the Word of God. They believe the original manuscripts were the Word of God if anybody could find them. They don't have any Bible. When they say the Bible, they teach the King James Bible, but they don't believe it. Now, in Webster's Dictionary, this is called apostasy. The word apostasy is from apohistomi in the Greek, which means to fall away from a standing position. And what it means is, although the person falls away, they keep on professing to believe what they no longer believe. If you want to know how the liberals and Unitarians got in Trinitarian pulpits, it's very simple. They professed to believe in the Trinity when they didn't. If you want to know how the liberals took over Colgate-Rochester Divinity School and the University of Chicago and Harvard, Yale, and Princeton and Dartmouth, when those schools were founded by Bible-believing people as missionary training centers, check it out. I'll tell you how they did it. They professed to believe something they didn't believe. And if you want to know why the body of Christ is going to apostasy in this generation, I mean the born-again, saved, premillennial, soul-winning, etc., I'll tell you why. Their leaders are professing things to get students and church members they do not believe. The Bible has a word for this. It's called hypocrisy. The word means an actor. And if you had a dollar for every fundamentalist you've seen stand in the pulpit and wave a King James Bible in the air and holler and scream, "We believe this book is the Word of God. It does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God," when he was lying, you could buy you downtown Manhattan. It goes on thousands of times a day in classrooms and pulpits all over this country. You know what it is? It's lying. It's the old nature in the so-called godly or good man expressing himself by lying against the authority of God. The reason why the modern fundamental leaders use the King James Bible and, quote, prefer it is because it would affect their income if they didn't. They have no more use for it as an infallible authority than any other translation by any liberal or neo-orthodox who ever lived. All right, next week we'll talk in our broadcast about the reasons for preaching the Word of God and for reading the Word of God and for memorizing the Word of God. And, of course, when we say this, we understand we have the Word of God to preach and to teach and to memorize and to read. The man who professes that translations are not inspired and not infallible, and therefore we no longer have the Word of God available to us, infallibly, with the divine authority, cannot preach the Word of God or read it or teach it, because he simply doesn't have it. Since we do, we will bring the next lesson with a clear conscience on reasons why we should preach the Word of God, which we have, and read the Word of God, which we have, and memorize the Word of God, which, of course, we have. And you can get a copy. If you don't get a copy of it, I trust you will before sundown tonight or sunrise tomorrow. Until next week's broadcast, may the Lord bless you and good day.